This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the beauty, skincare, and spa health channels. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience simply at eHealth Radio. Today, we are speaking with Dr. Josie Tenor, MD, MSc, President of Fresh Skin Incorporated, a medical spa and longevity health center. Dr. Tenor has been in practice for 31 years, the past 10 focused on wellness or longevity medicine and beauty for both men and women. Dr. Tenor, certainly a pleasure to have you with us today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you so much for inviting me to be on this program.
Hey, you're more than welcome. Certainly the pleasure is ours. So for starters, tell us, what does it mean when we read or hear wellness, longevity, medicine, and beauty for both men and women?
Well, it's a combination of what most of my people come in to see us for. You know, a lot of my patients look good, but they don't necessarily feel as well as they look, and vice versa. Some feel extremely well, and they come in and they say, you know, my outside doesn't match my inside. So we have tailored a bunch of procedure services and testing programs that allows us to make people feel as well as they look, feel as, you know, look as good as they feel, and also to maximize on the, you know, the length of time that they're living and also the quality of life that they're getting while still alive. So often we can't do anything about length, but we can certainly make the quality of life much better.
Tell me about some of the wellness services that you do provide. What are the beauty services as well?
So in the wellness brackets, you know, one of the original services that we started providing was weight loss. You know, if you look around, unfortunately, we have a lot of abundance, so obesity has become a fairly significant problem, and it leads to other things. So we have we're sort of the place of last resort when patients have tried absolutely everything and they're not getting anywhere. We take patients through a fairly comprehensive assessment and then determine, you know, whether they need anything other than just one of our multiple programs that are all pretty much protein-sparing, modified fast programs with food. So people get to eat. They're structured on the old medi-fast programs of the 70s, but food is used, and so they're fairly easy. And they're very effective at helping people lose weight. If that is, you know, that's the vast majority of what people need for weight loss. Others who have some significant medical problems, we will often add acupuncture services to that because acupuncture has been shown to improve metabolism, improve a sense of well-being, help to work at the level of the neurotransmitters for appetite suppression. And so there's a tremendous amount of success that people get when acupuncture is added to their weight loss program. We have acupuncture just for wellness and pain management as well, but we do add that to the weight loss programs. Some individuals who have come through, you know, significant illnesses, we will recommend that they have certain blood panels that will help get at some of the genetics of their some genetic issues, and so we're able to sort of find out genetically what, if they have any mutations that prohibit them from absorbing certain nutrients, so or whether there's any genetic reason why they might be struggling with weight loss or feeling healthy. So that's another guide, and then we prescribe supplements in response to some of the panels that we do. We attract a lot of people who exercise and eat well and still don't feel very well. And in that group of people, we recommend that they have micronutrient testing, which looks at all of the vitamin mineral categories of nutrition that is absorbed through food or may not be absorbed through food. And the testing that we offer is sort of, it's cultured in lymphocytes, so it's reflective of what's actually working within the body, and it helps guide us in terms of what we should recommend in terms of vitamins. You know, a lot of people take things and they don't even know why. Oh, yeah, I read on the news that I should take fish oil. Okay, I'll take fish oil. But the testing allows us to be a little bit more focused in what our recommendations are. So it's going to be more individualized, more focused, more and more effective if we have people who just aren't feeling very well. So those are some of the wellness services. In terms of beauty, I do everything from neurotoxins, Botox is one of them, to laser resurfacing, filler to replace volume loss, different lasers to one grows hair, the others get tightened skin. So pretty much everything from, you know, shaping, face shaping, restoring volume, and improving the quality and the texture of skin. And then we have at-home hair products for at-home treatment. So we do a lot.
Yes, it sounds like it. And tell us, what is the gender breakdown here on all this?
In the beauty end, I would say that, you know, it's still at this stage probably 95% of women and 5% men, but that's actually not that much different in healthcare. You know, if you look at how many men go to doctors, it's really kind of skewed in the gender divide as well. And in wellness, we're getting closer to equality. You know, we do have a fair number of males who come to us, but it's still probably more, you know, 70-30 as opposed to, as I said, in healthcare, it's probably 70-30 is better than most of the numbers that you see in primary care for patient visits outside a cardiology office, of course, where a lot more men go to cardiologists than females.
Today we are speaking with Dr. Josie Tenor, president of Fresh Skin Incorporated, a medical spa and longevity health center here on eHealth Radio's Beauty, Skin Care, and Spa Health channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Here's a question for you, Dr. Tenor. Do men really need to do Botox, and if so, why?
Nobody needs Botox, but do men want Botox? I actually call it Brotox. Because it's, you know, and I have another term for Botox. I call it the gateway drug. So, you know, reflective of when I was a child and our parents made comments. But what I am starting to find in the male market and the number of men who are coming in to see me, especially if they're in certain industries. You know, in the radio, you may be able to get away with more, but, you know, the financial industries are particularly notorious for some of my patients coming in and saying, you know, my boss is 35, and I'm in my mid-50s. I can't have anybody knowing I'm in my mid-50s. So there is a little bit of a, I guess a pressure for males to start looking younger than their stated age. It's been known for a while that women have taken advantage of these services, but now males are discovering that there is a way to look more youthful, a way to look more refreshed and restored, and in a competitive industry like finance, for example, it's you know, almost necessary that they look much younger than their stated age. So it is one of the driving factors. And then I think once men sort of see what this has done for them and it improves their self-esteem, then they tend to carry on utilizing some of the services, just because there's no question in my mind that it does affect self-esteem. there's some studies actually that show that Botox helps with depression, and even when the Botox treatments are not repeated, the incidence of depression is still less than if they had no Botox treatments at all. So the exact mechanism of action for this, we don't really know yet, but it's not just about removing wrinkles. It does actually have other benefits that are useful, including acne, for that matter, but and sweating. You know, if some people have issues with profuse sweating and, you know, going through a large number of white shirts in the workplace, and we do neurotoxin treatments in the axilla, the armpit, and it can decrease the amount of sweat that's produced dramatically, and it can last about 6 months. So it's not just for beauty. We do actually use it for some other non-beauty benefits like sweating.
What do most people fear when they do come to see you?
Pain and looking like the Hollywood stars. So let's address the first one. You know, everyone thinks of pain when they think of Botox, because don't you have to do it with a needle, and is it going to hurt? So, you know, it's the same with fillers. So this tends to be, you know, the absolute number one reason why sometimes people delay things. And, you know, my standard response is, you know, we specialize in babies around here, and so we do everything in our power to actually make it less painful. And when I administer Botox, I use diabetic syringes. So these are tiny, tiny, tiny syringes. I apply ice to the skin ahead of time. And quite honestly, the ice is perceived to be more uncomfortable than the actual needle itself. So we find ways to make this a little bit more comfortable. But that's still the number one fear. And the second big fear is looking like everything on the red carpet that's done badly. And typically, you know, I address this issue by reminding them who referred them. Not that I breach confidentiality, because normally when they want me to talk about all of their friends, my standard response is, I don't know what you're talking about. But usually, you know, I make comments that, you know, people who come here through a network of individuals, if they liked what they saw, then they tend to come to me, and so that's all that they need to know is that's not my art form. So we certainly don't do runway hideous. Our goal is to restore youth and beauty and not to create something that really wasn't there in the first place. And so, for the most part, we're able to reassure people on both ends of their concerns, and I'm happy to do it as slowly as they need to and work at it in whatever stepwise fashion that they need to in order to be comfortable with what we offer.
Lastly, what does your pathway genomics testing tell one taking the test, and when do you offer it as part of the weight loss programs and services?
So pathway genomics testing, we tend to offer, we offer this to anybody who would like to have it done, but in terms of our structured programs, it tends to make sense to offer that when individuals are hitting maintenance. And so what does it tell us? It's actually a full genetic panel. One of the reasons we chose this company is because I could... on my forms, when I submit the test for the sample, and typically we use saliva, and when I submit the saliva for testing, I can actually assure my patients that their genetic material is not going to be stored, housed, or used for research purposes, or to be used, you know, in a way that they're not aware. And there are some other companies that you can get this sort of testing done, it's available, that are available on the internet, and they do use the genetic material inappropriately. So I don't really think that patients really know that when they're going on the internet. So I chose this company because I could make sure that, you know, their material is protected. And so what does the test show? It gives us a window into an individual's gene pool and tells us such information like, you know, if they have a sweet tooth and whether or not they have genes that make them more likely to overeat, and what type of diet they should be following. You know, as you know, there's a new diet created every week, and I think that for the moment, everyone seems to still be liking the Atkins or the South Beach type diets, which are high protein, low carb diets. And if your genetics tell you that you should not be on a high protein, low carb diet, then you should not be on a high protein, low carb diet. I had my genetics testing done, for example, and based on my genetic pool, based on my genes, the best diet for me is more carbs than a high protein diet and lower in the fat carbs. So, lower in the fat macronutrients. So for me, it's no surprise. If I try to do, you know, high protein diets, I don't feel very well. Well, why not? Because genetically, that's not where my body, that's not how my body wants to be nourished. So it's a fairly in-depth test, and it also talks about your tendency to regain weight when it's lost. It's got some, it gives genetics on what your tendency to have issues with leptin, which is a hormone that gives people feelings of fullness. So it gives us a tremendous amount of information, and it really is helpful when someone has lost all of their weight and now it's like how to keep it off. So in conclusion, like the best role for the pathway genomics is when someone's entering maintenance, because of course it's, you know, anyone can lose weight, it's keeping it off that's a huge problem. So this series of gene tests allow us to structure a program to help people keep their weight off lifelong and to manage some of the things that, you know, genetics do determine our behavior. And if you know that you have a tendency to overeat, well, this is in your gene pool. Just know that if you're going to do that, do it once a week and then go back to eating healthy. So it helps people to do what they need to do to keep their weight off.
Definitely. Dr. Tenor, certainly appreciate your time today. Where can listeners get more information on Fresh Skin, and also how can they be in touch?
They can go to my website, www.myfreshskin.com. You can find us on Facebook, Fresh Skin, and they can always call the office, 847-681-8821. And I appreciate your time. Thank you.
And you're more than welcome. Come back anytime. We've been speaking with Dr. Josie Tenor, president of Fresh Skin Incorporated, a medical spa and longevity health center. And for more information, simply visit, once again, it's myfreshskin.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the beauty, skincare, and spa health channels, a part of the eHealth Radio network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.